Let's get into the lesson. And just a brief review from yesterday. We had talked about 1 Corinthians 9, verses about 19 through 22, that it was Paul's driving force to save some of the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues, to get them saved before the door slammed shut on Israel. I mean, they had fallen as a nation in Acts 7, but here in Acts 19, he's writing 1 Corinthians, and he says, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So that was what he was, what was driving him. Paul knew of, he knew that, well, this is in Acts 19. In Acts 18, verse 22, he had received that temple vision where Christ had told him, I will be sending you to all people, to all men. He hadn't been sent to them yet. He was still sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But he knew he was going there. He knew he was, that he had been sent. He had been, sent is not the word. He uses the term apostleship. I have received apostleship to go to all people. But he hadn't been sent yet. And the sending comes later. We can, you know, we've studied that. We'll study it more in the future in Acts 20, verse 6. But Paul knew that he had been equipped for his future sending to all of those far-off Gentiles, they're called in Ephesians 2, the far-off Gentiles. Not the ones in the synagogues that had blessed Israel and come to God, that were seeking God, that came to God through Israel, God's means of salvation at that time, at the time before Paul. The secret good news that Messiah sent back through Paul, secret being mystery, remember it's the mystery of Christ, mystery is the secret, Christ is the Messiah. So the secret good news that Messiah sent back through Paul was the mystery of Christ. It was in a dispensation or dispensing, giving out of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and to the Jew blessing Greeks. But there's more. Fortunately, there is much more. We're included. We were excluded from Jesus when Jesus walked the earth and sent out his apostles. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Well, we were left out. God's kingdom, he was bringing them in the kingdom if they would have received it. His kingdom involved Israel ruling the world with Christ Jesus on the throne in Israel. But they rejected it. Acts 7, they fell from that, and they diminished through Acts. This is part of their diminishing when we get to Acts 19 here. Now, in Acts, they fell in Acts 7. In Acts 9, God saved Paul, Saul of Tarsus, so that God did not leave the world without a way to come to him. And aren't you glad? I am, I know. So, from that time on, you begin seeing body. Paul was in the body of Christ. He was the first member. And you begin seeing body of Christ events happening, you know, almost like as you tie your shoe, you go through one lace on one side and then you go through the lace on the other side. Well, there are some events in Acts that are Israel events as Israel diminishes down to being cut off in Acts 28. And there are some events in Acts alternating, so to speak, that are events of the body of Christ. They're not the same. Israel is not the body of Christ. They do happen in the same book, in the same accounting of that period, but they're not the same. So, about a quarter century after Paul experienced salvation by grace, through faith, without works, Christ revealed something brand new for Paul to preach. In Acts 20, after Paul wrote 2 Corinthians and after he wrote Romans, Christ gave Paul the ministry. He says he has, well, it was revealed to him back in Acts 18 when we had talked before, and we'll talk again about the temple vision that occurred in Acts 18, verse 22, in that very, very brief visit to Jerusalem. Luke doesn't even write about it. He just has to catch up with Paul leaving because Christ told him, get out of Jerusalem quickly. They won't receive what I'm telling you. And so he left and came out of the temple and went downhill toward Antioch and went to Antioch and then on another journey. But Christ gave Paul the ministry that he had revealed to him. He gave it to him in Acts 20. And by the time you get to Acts 20, verse 24, it's the first time the Bible, it's the first time that we read in the Bible that Paul refers to the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Well, what gospel was there before the grace of God? The gospel of the grace of God. That was the gospel of Christ. Now, it was the same message. It's the same message that Paul was saved by, the same message he taught in the synagogues to the Jews and the Greeks, the same message that's called the gospel of the grace of God, and it's the same message that we're saved by today, that Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. You're saved by believing that Christ did all the work for you and paid your penalty for your sins. He died your death on the cross. That's the salvation that we have. But there were other provisions with the gospel besides the message. There was a provision of who it was sent to. Early on, the gospel of Christ was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But when you get to the sending to all people, it begins being called the gospel of the grace of God. And here's the verse, Acts 20:24. I don't know if someone has a poster and can post this, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And here's something else. Additionally, he says, the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He later describes that good news of the grace of God in Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And that, you know, like we said yesterday about the undrafted players in the NFL getting signed to a contract in the NFL, before that began to happen, nobody could have imagined that it would happen. Well, it's the same thing here. I mean, we know that people are saved. Anybody can be saved by believing the gospel. But back then, it had only been sent to Israel. John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. And so, when Christ sent Paul to all men, there was a violent reaction among the Jews. Well, they knew about the Greeks, those Gentiles that were in the synagogues that came to God on Israel's basis. But when Paul started saying that those Jew cursers, those Sabbath ignorers, were going to be getting saved now, that God was going to bless those he promised to curse in Genesis 12:3, they couldn't stand for that, and they rioted. And Paul got taken into custody and stayed in prison then. Wrote his prison epistles, but that later sending, it exceeded Christ's limited sending to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It superseded, maybe is a better term, his earlier limited sending. And Paul described that limited sending in some verses we'll take a look at now. In these, we'll start with 1 Corinthians 9:17. In the verses, you can see the limited nature of Christ's sending of Paul at that early time, you know, before he was sent to all people, people like us. So starting in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. Thank you for posting, Abiel, or Nathaniel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what then is my reward? Rather, verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So this dispensing of the gospel he's talking about, the gospel is the gospel of Christ. And you can read, you can find it in the first chapter of Romans. I've got it here, Abiel, you know, or Nathaniel. You don't have to post this one. We're told what the gospel of Christ is. It's the power of God to save people, with two qualifiers to it back then, before it went to all people. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth is the first qualifier, and the second qualifier is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Still to the Jews and those that believe like the Jews. So that's the content of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification. He was buried, and the third day he resurrected. And believing that, you are saved. Believing that it was your sins that he died for, and that he rose for your justification. So with that in mind, that the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek is what Paul was sent to dispense, to start off with, in a dispensation of the gospel, it's called. Let's look at the gospel itself, the actual wording that God gives us by which to be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 1, and we'll go through verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. So this is the gospel that saves you. This is the gospel of salvation that Paul said originally he was sent to give to preach to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that later in Titus 2:11, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's the same message, though. And this is it. And he says it's different. It's different than Peter's message. It's different than Jesus taught Israel when he was on earth. He says, keep in memory what I preached unto you, because it's different. He says, unless you have believed in vain. And so he goes ahead and tells them, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And he told them in the first verse, they had received it. That's how you get it. You believe it unto yourself for your own situation, your own need, your own salvation. And he says, that I preached, verse 3, for I delivered on you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. You could say Christ died for my sins. And that was according to the scriptures, that he would die for those Jews' sins. You can find that in Isaiah 53, verse 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, or 10, 11, and 12, that he would die for Israel's sins, for the sins of many. That was a prophecy to Isaiah, by Isaiah, from God to Isaiah for Israel, that the Messiah, or the righteous servant he's called there, would die for their sins. And so it was according to the scripture in Acts 19 that Christ would die for Israel's sins and for those believing Gentiles that believed like Israel, looking for the coming kingdom and the Messiah. But there's more. I delivered on you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And we can go on. We read how that the gospel of Christ is God's power unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So let's go into Romans 11. Go down through Romans. Now, Romans was written in Acts 20 in that same time period, just a few days probably before Christ actually sent Paul to all people. It's three verses in the text. Let me just say, in Acts 20, verse 3, there's a time period that Paul was stationary for a while, and that's thought of to be the most likely time, both in his schedule that's listed through Acts and through the epistles there, and because of the doctrine that matches. It's thought to be when he wrote Romans in Acts 20, verse 3, and then Acts 20, verse 6 is when he was sent to all people, according to Philippians 4:15. So let's read Acts 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Paul's talking about Israel. Have they stumbled? Yeah, they stumbled. They stumbled at the stumbling stone, the rock of offense, when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Have they stumbled that they should fall, though? No. They didn't have to fall after they stumbled. They could have caught themselves, just like you. When you're walking along and you hit the curb or something, you stumble. You don't have to go down on the ground. You can catch yourself, run and, put your foot out there. But it goes on to say that they did fall. Let's see. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. So that's present tense in Acts 20 when he wrote Romans. In Acts 20, they had fallen. Salvation had come to the Gentiles. Now, don't misread it like some people and get confused. It doesn't say salvation is come unto all the Gentiles. That wasn't at that time. It hadn't come to all the Gentiles. It had come to the Gentiles it was preached to, and it had come to the Gentiles that it talks about here in the rest of the verse, for to provoke them to jealousy, to provoke Israel to jealousy. Israel was... you can see who these Gentiles are that are able to provoke Israel to jealousy by looking into what happens in the synagogues. If you look at, we'll look at three verses in Acts 13, and they're not in the verse list, I don't think. I got the first one. And then we'll look at Acts 13:26, secondly, and Acts 13:46. Verses 26 and 46. So this is Acts 13:4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Well, they ended up, I shouldn't say ended up, but they got to Antioch of Pisidia, and Paul addresses them, and he says, men and brethren. So the brethren is closer than men. Men is just... a declaration of kind of like you people, you guys. But the brethren, that was the fellow Jews. Paul was a Jew. He says, men and brethren. And he makes it clearer. He says, children of the stock of Abraham. So that's the Jews. And then he says, and, so there's more besides the Jews. There's Gentiles in there too, that fit a certain category. He says, and whosoever among you feareth God. So there's God-fearing Gentiles in there. Ones that believed that God was working in the world through Israel. Or had been. They were still in that church because they hadn't heard Paul yet. But Paul was sent to them, and he went and he preached this message to them. And he says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, that's the Jews and the Greeks. Greeks were those that sought the wisdom of God. Children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. This salvation identifies that it's not that salvation that they had heard before about the kingdom coming. This is different. This is about personal salvation. About believing that Christ died for your sins. And who's it to? He says, to you it's sent to you Jews, and to you God-fearing Gentiles in the synagogue that are there in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. Like he said in Romans 11:11, up, what, three or four verses up in the text there, five verses. So that identifies. Look what he says in the next verse, Acts 13:46, the next one we're going to read, Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. That was their sending. They were sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. What Gentiles did he turn to? The Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. The ones there that he mentioned in verse 26, men and brethren. The men part of that synagogue, They're in the synagogue. This is a Jewish worship place. And it's the men there, the men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. Here it is again. And whosoever among you, that be besides the Jews, that feareth God. Those are the Gentiles that Paul says, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Not all the Gentiles. It doesn't say all the Gentiles. He hadn't turned to all the Gentiles yet because he hadn't been sent to all the Gentiles yet by Jesus Christ. But he would be. Not long after that either. So now let's find out about... we know that the mystery of Christ is this secret that Christ sent back after he had been crucified, buried, risen again, and ascended back to heaven. He sent back good news that... he sent it back to Paul, that you can be saved individually by believing that I died for your sins. That's the mystery of Christ. It was a secret. And yet Messiah shared it with Paul. And Paul gave it to others, according to who he was sent to. But now we find out there is not only the mystery of Christ, there's the fellowship of the mystery. And after Paul... fully preached during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and he says he did there in Romans 15:19, he said he had fully preached, then Christ widened his commission. He superseded that limited condition, and it was to testify now, it was to testify to all men the good news that even those alien Gentiles that God had given up on In Romans 1:18 through chapter 2, verse 2 in Romans, you can read all about how he gave them up, gave them over to lawless living. And so they also can now be saved is what the impact of it is. After Paul was sent to all men, that people, as depraved as they could be, could now be saved by hearing and believing the gospel. Hearing the good news. Faith comes from hearing, not from being regenerated or being chosen by God. God chose those that he foreknew would hear and believe the gospel. And those that hear and receive the faith to be able to believe, but they choose not to believe, they don't get saved. But the ones that hear the gospel and believe, they get saved. It's by believing on God's grace. Through the faith of Christ in dying for the sins of us Gentiles too, which is the mystery of the gospel. That the gospel not only applied to Israel as it was first given in the mystery of Christ, but it is expanded now. It's the mystery of the gospel. It was a secret that nowhere in the Old Testament does it say that people are going to be saved immediately by believing that Christ died for our sins. If you're not a Jew, well, even the Jews had a different salvation. They had a salvation, but it was different than this. It was a salvation into the kingdom. So, Christ had died for us Gentiles as well as for the sins of Israel, as in Isaiah 53. For background, let's look at the verses about God giving up on mankind. Those verses we mentioned in Romans 1:18 through verse 2 of chapter 2, we're going to look at those because we don't, you know, Israel started working again, Christ started working again with Israel after this happened, after there was this decline and decline and decline through the decades, through the centuries actually, after Noah, and you come along and God calls out Abraham because of this decline. Let's read about it, starting in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God showed it to them, unto them. Did they know? Yeah. They know that there's a God. They don't have the written scriptures, but they know, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, they took the steps away from God, and then God darkened them. Just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, no, you're not leaving. Why would I let Israel go out of the country and worship their God? You're staying here. And then afterward, after Pharaoh made his choice and stood by it, then God hardened his heart two chapters later in Exodus. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You can hear that today. I know that God is working in me because I can feel it. Well, God never said that you're going to feel it. God gives you his word, and you believe his word that he's working in you or that he has saved you. It's not a matter of feeling. It's not a matter of experience or some ecstatic thing that goes on in your life. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made unto like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, this is verse 27, the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Well, after that, God called out Abraham's grandson, Israel, originally named Jacob and renamed Israel, to be his people, starting in Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. That's what the Greeks depended on, that scripture, to receive a blessing from God. They blessed Israel. They believed God, that he would do what he said he would do. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And that's what Israel did when they put the seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that's how it came to be that God was working with mankind, only through Israel at that time. But God had kept a secret all through those years. After Israel fell in Acts 7, God saved unforgivable Saul of Tarsus as the first member of the body of Christ. And God sent Paul back to those Jews and Jew-blessers with the gospel of Christ. In other words, Israel's Messiah sent back good news of a change in the gospel. From Israel's gospel of a kingdom out of heaven on earth to salvation into heaven by God's grace through faith, not of works. The gospel had changed. The program had changed. The audience remained unchanged until later. Can you imagine yourself in the position and the era after Paul was saved and sent to the Jews and the Greeks, before the good news of salvation was sent to all men? Pardon me. Back then, no one could even imagine that God would save those that he told Israel he would curse in Genesis 12:3, the second of those three parts there. I will bless them that bless thee, and here it is, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The salvation of those who had been cursed in Israel's doctrine had to wait until the nation Israel had been given every last chance to repent and to receive God's king and his kingdom out of heaven. It had to wait until every last Israelite had been given the chance to change his mind and to elect to believe Paul's gospel of salvation. The only gospel message that would still save people by the time of Israel's blinding and casting away in the last half chapter of Acts. That last half chapter of Acts 28. Christ sent Paul to preach the same saving message to a widely expanded target audience. That wider distribution was called the gospel of the grace of God, in the dispensation of the grace of God. But it's the same saving message by which Paul was saved in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ. The Romans 11, verse 12, diminishing that it talks about in the verse there, Romans 11, 12, that diminishing of Israel was increasingly difficult for an Israelite to believe that God was calling them to be partners with those cursed alien goyim, the ungodly, uncircumcised, commandment-ignoring Gentiles. It was harder and harder as you go through Acts, from Acts 7 to Acts 28. And the expansion brought many alien Gentiles into the same body of Christ that so far contained only believers, the believers from when Paul was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For about 14 years he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek in a dispensation of the gospel. And that is widely ignored in grace, rightly dividing circles today, but it's there in the scriptures. Those two vastly different conditions of Gentiles finally began flowing into the one same body of Christ that also contained the Jews that believed Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. Christ made both one. He made in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. But the confluence of the two conditions of Gentiles caused Paul to write to them for them to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That was in Ephesians 4:3. That joining of the believing Greeks with the believing alien Gentiles and the believing Jews was given a name in Scripture. That's the fellowship of the mystery. And it's in the dispensation of the grace of God. As you look at Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, it tells us that the gospel of Christ, which saved believers during a dispensation of the gospel in mid-Acts, it's the same saving message that saves people today in the dispensation of the grace of God after Christ sent Paul. And he began preaching salvation to all people by commission. You know, he could have preached it before, but he wasn't sent to do it until the sending there that came in Acts 20, verse 6. And after he was sent to all people, his writings are different. They don't include those special instructions to the Jews and the Greeks meeting together, having been kicked out of the synagogues. that whole situation is different when he's preaching to alien Gentiles that weren't in the synagogues to begin with and didn't have a connection to Jews. So let's read the verses. Ephesians 1 verses 12 and 13 there on your screen. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. For those like me who keep asking in the back of your minds, why? How did God make that happen? Does it all fit perfectly together? Well, I hope this starts to give an understanding of the process and the mechanics of how God legally worked out your salvation. It all seems too complicated sometimes, you know, and if it does, remember that it's not necessary for you to understand any of those provisions that Christ made in order for you to be saved. Only believe that Christ is your Savior by dying for your sin, his dying for your sins when he died on the cross, and that he rose from the dead for you, for your justification. Believe on him to life everlasting. And let's close with those verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter, after Paul, who was the first, should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And that's what I urge you today, if you're listening to this. Believe on him to life everlasting. Be ye reconciled unto God.